If you have a red letter edition Bible, you know that Jesus is the one talking. So Jesus is the one setting the standard. You know, instead of lowering the standard under grace, Jesus raised it. Jesus raised it. Somebody said this, this is the bar being raised to the ninth degree. He raised the bar for us. You see, he said, if you read a little bit earlier, he says, you've heard thou shalt not kill. If you do, you're in danger of the judgment. And he says, but I say, if you're angry against thy brother without a cause, you're in danger of the judgment. He said, you've heard that thou shalt not commit adultery. But what I say is, if you look on a woman to lust after her, thou hast committed adultery already in thine heart. You see, God took the law and raised it for us. And here's what this is not the message this morning, but I want to start with this. If the people in the Word of God and the living under the law in the Old Testament did not have a hope of achieving or living or abiding by the law then, how could we possibly expect to live by it today? Outside of Jesus Christ. Look at the very last verse of chapter number 5. What does he say there? Be therefore perfect. Lest you think that you might be able to attain this level of standard put forth by Jesus Christ, he finishes it up and says, hey, be perfect, which is complete, mature as a believer. And the only way we can do that is in Jesus Christ. This is not the message this morning, but I want to tell you that it starts with Jesus. And you need Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. The message I'm going to give this morning is really going to be emphasized and presented towards those that are saved, that know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, and they've trusted him. But if you haven't, I want you to know that salvation is available to you. So the message is that God sends the rain. You know, it's amazing how our spirit is affected by the rain. You know what? If I had never been outside, the McNeelys are staying in the room here, and if these shades were pulled, and I happened to be staying in this back room, and I had never been outside, and I came into the service, you know, most of the time I could tell you what the weather's like outside by how this audience is acting. I mean, sometimes it is as thick as old coffee. I mean, you can just feel it. Man, it must be a gloomy day. Everybody's walking around with the Eeyore syndrome. You know, oh, it's me. It's gonna rain. Oh, man. Yeah, sun's coming out, but rain's coming back. Oh, boy. Gonna be here tomorrow. I know it. You know, everybody's walking around with the Eeyore syndrome. I mean, it affects our spirit. It affects our attitude. We get a little down, and, you know, there's not a whole lot of energy in a room. But I'll tell you what, you get a cool spring morning where the sun is shining, and man, there's energy in here. There's people, there's an excitement, there's anticipation for the day. You're looking at it and say, wow, whoa, this is a day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And you're excited about it and thrilled and looking forward to what's going to happen. Why? Because the sun is shining. Rain, overcast, bad weather affects our spirit. Look at our text one more time. Verse number 45, he says, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh the sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. I want to preach for a few minutes on God sendeth the rain. Would you bow with me and pray and ask God to speak to you as I bleed out loud? Lord, we thank you for today and the opportunity to be in your house. Lord, you know on my best day I'm an unworthy servant. Dear God, as we're gathered here, we're looking into a book that is worthy. We're being spoken to by the Spirit of God. And I pray, Lord, that you would give me clarity of thought and liberty to preach. But more importantly, Lord, I pray that you would take this message and drive it home to the heart of every single soul present. I pray if there's one here that doesn't know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, that they would trust him today. And I pray, God, that you would comfort and strengthen every Christian who is experiencing the rain. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You see, everyone gets caught in the rain sometimes. Last Sunday, I was going to preach this text. I told you that. How many of you remember? I almost did. And it rained all day. You remember that? It rained all day. I said, man, that would have been fitting. But the Lord changed it. Well, we went to lunch, and we took the missionaries out to lunch. And we took them in the church van, and I pulled up to the front door of the restaurant and let them get out. And as they were getting out of the van, Mrs. Smothers looks at her husband and says, "Hun, would you want to take the umbrella in case it's raining much harder when we come out of the restaurant?" And he says, "Nah, it'll be all right. You know where I'm going." We went into the restaurant and we sat down and had a great meal. And when I paid the check and it was time to go, it was raining like a monsoon. I mean, it was pouring. And you know she couldn't resist. She's like, "Honey, I asked you if you wanted to bring an umbrella." I said, "Don't worry about it. We'll pull the van up again. I'll get somebody to bring an umbrella out to you." But everybody gets caught in the rain sometimes. We don't like the rain. But do you know something? If you look in the Word of God, almost all the miracles that you can point to, that you see God doing a miraculous thing, were brought about because of a problem. Because somebody was experiencing the rain. This morning you might feel like you're in the rain right now. You might feel like you've been caught in the storm. You're in the midst of a problem and can't see the end. I want to do my best to strengthen your heart. Through the Word of God, I want to give you faith in your God to help you to endure the rain. Let me give you a couple of thoughts this morning. First of all, I want you to consider with me or realize the author of the rain. The author of the rain. You see, he said, "He sendeth the rain." In the Bible, there are many things, many different times that we see rain. Rain comes for many different reasons. Rain comes as punishment. Noah, you think about that. If you talk about judgment or punishment, that would be the first story that comes to your mind, that rain was sent because the men were exceedingly sinful and God was going to judge them and punish them. And rain sometimes is sent for punishment. On Pharaoh, we see that he did not respond to what God wanted him to do. And it says that God sent rain and hail on Pharaoh. Rain sometimes is sent for punishment. Other times in the Bible, we see rain is sent for provision. In Deuteronomy chapter 11, it talks that God sends the rain. It's the first rain and the latter rain. And he says, why? He says that you could go out and gain your crops and that you may bring in your wine and your olive branches, olives, that you can be blessed. It's a sign, a picture of God's provision raining on you. You know, without rain, there would be no fruit. We don't like the rain, but that's applicable in our lives as well. You know, many times without the rain, there would be no fruit in our lives. But this morning, I want to look at a particular area that we see in the Word of God. That rain is a picture of the problems that we endure. Like Job of old, who experienced a deluge of rain, of problems, one after another. He hardly had time to grasp and get a hold of the information sent to him by the first servant before the next came up and said, "Hey, all your buildings are gone too. All your children are gone too. You've lost it all. All your animals are gone." He experienced the rain. But I believe, as I believe you do, that every word of God is inspired. Correct? That there's a reason God puts particular words and things in the Word of God for us. I just want to point out this morning that this is Jesus talking here. But the text does not say that Jesus sendeth rain. You know what? This is talking about God, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Creator of the universe. It is talking about Him, but it doesn't say that God sends the rain. What is the term used in the text? Who does he say sends the rain? Talk to me. The Father. The Father sends the rain. What I want you to see by this, God put this in here on purpose, I believe, because what we're talking about is a relationship there. A relationship. You understand that a father does what's best for his children. A father loves his child, and everything that he does is for the child's good. And you can know this morning that God, your Father, has sent rain into your life, and it's for your good and for God's glory. No matter the situation, He loves you, and He will only do what's best for you. It is out of a heart of love the Father does what's best for His child. A parent doesn't make a child carry a few logs, a little like you'll see Pastor Derek sometimes. He may tell little Titus, Titus, take this chair into the fellowship hall from here. Until you'll see Titus grabbing a hold of a chair and dragging it all the way back there. Man, Pastor Derek's a mean daddy. No, he's trying to build muscle in Titus. So that when he needs that strength later in life, he has it. You know, Andrew, right here, when he was very young, Mary, how old? 15 months? You think when he was afraid of water? Not quite a year? Man, I'm a mean daddy. Andrew was afraid of grass. If you set him in the grass, he would lose it. He did not like the grass. I don't know if he could see all the bugs, or maybe it was the unknown of what he couldn't see in the grass, but he didn't like grass. And you know what? He didn't like water. Water being run on his head. Every time he had to have a bath, she would take the little squirter thing and rinse his head off, and he would scream. So you know what I did? I took him outside, and I set him in the grass, and I turned the sprinkler on. You said, man, Pastor Caleb, you are a mean daddy. Probably true. But it's because I loved him. I knew he needed to overcome that. He needed to understand there wasn't anything to fear in that. You see, I love him. I would do anything for him. I would die for him if it was necessary. Without a moment's hesitation, everything I do is motivated out of a heart of love for Him. And your Heavenly Father, who knows what's best for you, sends some rain into your life. And it's never to be mean to you. It's never to just shake His fist at you. It's because He loves you and He knows what you need. He knows there's nothing to fear. He's in control and He wants you to get something from it. It's your Father that sins. The rain. You might not know why the rain comes, but you can know that the person sinned it out of love for you. I don't know why you have to endure the rain that you're going through. I don't know why someone would have to say goodbye and bury their child before it's time. So many stories come to mind of people that have had to endure such heartache, such pain, such trials of tests. And we look at it and we don't understand why. You know, Job in chapters 3 through chapter 7, seven times in those chapters, Job says, why? I don't think there's anything wrong with asking God, Lord, why? Help me to know and to understand why. But listen, Christian, don't ever shake your fist at a loving God and say, this shouldn't have happened to me. Because God knows what's best for you. God, you can trust Him no matter what comes, no matter what you have to endure. You can, with a heart of humility, come before God, never out of bitterness, blaming Him. Look in the eyes of your heavenly Father, as it were, and say, Lord, I don't know why, but because I know who, I can go through this. Do you know that it rains on everyone? It rains on everyone. He says here that it rains on the just and the what? Unjust. Everyone experiences the rain. I remember a time in Lawrence, Kansas, when we were building a building 150 by 150. We had these footings that we had to dig, and these footings were 2 foot wide and 3 foot deep, 150 foot long down each side. And every 25 feet where the main pillars of the building were supposed to go that would hold the purlings and the girders that the building's constructed with, there was a 3 feet by 3 feet by 3 feet deep cube. And these cubes and all of the footings had to be filled with rebar, and all the rebar had to be tied together. And we dug all these holes. And we put all this rebar in the hole. And it started raining. And it rained. And it rained. And every hole got filled to the brim and overflowing with rain. And do you know what happens when a hole like that fills with dirt or fills with water? The sides start to break off and fall down into the bottom. Well, you can't leave that dirt down in there when you're gonna build. So as soon as it was dry outside, stopped raining, we got pumps. Me and another guy got pumps, went outside and pumped out all these holes. Pastor Derek, Pastor Gus, whoever you are up there, can you show us this picture? This is Alicia and little Andrew playing in one of the holes. While we were out there working, me and another guy were digging out these holes. We had to pick all the rebar out, put pumps in, and muck out all the holes. Do you know that before we got all the rebar back in the holes, it rained again and filled them all again to the brim? You aren't going to believe this. It happened a third time. In the same holes, on the same building, for over a month, for over 30 days, me and another guy are out there sucking the water out of the holes and mucking them out. Do you know how wide those footings were when we got done? I don't know why. After the first time, I was a little irritated. After the second time, I was extremely frustrated. And after the third time, I was saying, God, why? This is your building. This is for your church. Why do we have to keep doing this? I don't know. Maybe the footings were not designed strong enough. And God knew, you guys building that building, it's going to fall down in a few years. You need more concrete in that footing than that. And since we didn't dig it big enough, He said He was going to do it, and He let it rain and opened them holes up. I don't know why, but I know who. And whatever you might be enduring, whatever you might be going through, I want you to understand, you know who. God sends the rain. And we could go through this room and we could talk to every one of you, and you could go through, just like me, time after time after time, that you've had to endure the rain, but it rains on everyone. Do you know whatever rain that you're enduring now, you might have family problems that you're enduring. You might have some financial problems you're enduring. You might be dealing with some physical problems that are taking you down. You might be dealing with some problems concerning your future and not know what's going to come. But I want you to know, you can know that God sent it. Everyone endures the rain. You know, it rained on Nehemiah when Sanballat and Tobiah came and tried to obstruct the work. It rained on Esther when she was a beautiful young lady growing up in her home with her family, and she was pulled away from her home and she was stuck into the king's harem to be a queen for the king against her will. But God said, you were put here for such a time as this. And she had to be put into that place. And she had to endure that rain. Why? Because she was going to be used of God to save all of her people from destruction. You see, everyone endures rain. The three Hebrew children endured rain when they were told to bow, and they said, no, we would rather burn. Daniel endured rain when they said, you can't pray, and he went ahead and prayed anyway, and he was thrown into a lion's den. It rained on Paul when he was put in prison. It rained on Joseph when he did nothing wrong, and he was sold into slavery, and he was lied about. It rained on Job. You know, it rained on Mary and Martha when Lazarus died. And they looked at Jesus and they said, Jesus, if you would have been here. They had to experience the rain, but then the sun came. The sun came. And Lazarus was raised from the dead. This in Sunday school this morning, the Sunday school lesson, this entire service, God has knit together in such a way, it blows my mind. Jesus was sent into the wilderness for what? If you were in Sunday school, to be tempted. It rained on Jesus. Who are we to think we should not experience the rain? I want you to know that God hears your cry in the rain. Consider with me another thought in this text. The fact that the rain here, he says, he sendeth the rain on the just and the unjust. The Father sends the rain. The rain has been appointed. The appointment of the rain. God sends that rain to you. What I'm saying is whatever problem you're enduring right now, whatever heartache or difficulty you're going through, God sent it. You know, too many times we look this way. We look around us. We look at this person and say, oh, this person did this to me, or I wouldn't have to endure this if that person didn't do this, or man, this is going like this, or boy, at my job, I have to deal with this. God is in control of the affairs of men, and if you're going through something or you're enduring something, understand that God allowed it or God sent it. Are you guys awake today? I need some kind of feedback. Are you? I mean, you're just sitting there looking at me. Maybe it's just so deep and rich, you're just in awe. That got something out of you. I talk about the sun showing up and somebody being raised from the dead, and you guys are just looking at me. I'm saying whatever you're going through, God sent it, and you know it comes from a heavenly Father who loves you, that there's an appointed rain. If you have the time, turn over to Job. Job chapter 7, I want you to see this. Job chapter 7, verse number 1. I want you to especially see verse number 3. So if you're still turning, look it down to verse number 3. Job 7, 1. He says, is there not an appointed time to man upon earth? Are not his days also like the days of a hireling? As a servant earnestly desireth the shadow, and as a hireling looketh for the reward of his work. Job 7, 3 says, so am I made to possess months of vanity, and wearisome nights are, what does it say? Appointed to me. Job said, this has been appointed for me. Whatever I'm going through, what I have to endure, and if you think about what Job endured, none of us have even come close. And what Job endured, he realized was appointed for him. And though he slay me, yet will I trust him. God appointed it to you. He'll never appoint more than you can handle. You know, there are seasons of rain, times of great rain, and times where the sun is shining. You might wonder, will it ever stop raining? We even have the phrase, man, when it rains, it pours. We're not necessarily even talking about the fact of the rain that comes down, precipitation from heaven. But we're talking about the fact that when I got up, I found the dog that ate my work shoe. And then I went outside and the car, the battery was dead. And then I got to work, and as soon as I showed up for work, I found out all the work they were supposed to do on the weekend they didn't do, and now I have to do it. And you come home, and all that you want when you come home is a nice shower, like I wanted yesterday when I got home, looking forward to that shower. After 3 days of sweat and smoke and bugs, and you find that the water heater is broken. And you got to go to the store to get a part before you can get a shower. And you say, man, when it rains, it pours. Right? That's what we're talking about. But those things have been appointed to you. There's times when it rains. But this too shall come to pass. The old-time preacher said, it didn't come to stay, it came to pass. This too is going to pass. The sun will shine again. Whatever you're going through, however long the night is, I want you to know that it's Friday, but Sunday's coming. This too is going to pass. The flood had only rained for 40 days and 40 nights. Pharaoh said that he saw the rains were ceased. In 2 Samuel 23, verse number 4, he said, and he shall be as the light of the morning when the sun riseth, even a morning without clouds, as the tender grass springing out of the earth by clear shining after the rain. Aren't things so fresh and clean and, bright when the rain fades and the sun shines again? It'll pass. There's seasons of rain and we endure those, but let me encourage you, that it'll pass. The sun will shine again. There are also locations of rain. You know, it doesn't rain on everybody at the same time. In the same way, in the same days. You know, you come into church and you're a little bit down because of this or that, or you're enduring, it's raining on you right now. And you come into church and somebody else looks at you and says, good morning, welcome to church today. Hey, isn't God good? Amen? Amen. And you're like, man, what does he have to be so happy about? The sun's shining on him right now. You're enduring the rain. It rains in different places at different amounts. According to the National Climate and Data Center, the wettest place in the world is in Laurel, Columbia, with a whopping 523.6 inches of rain a year. That's a lot of rain. But it doesn't rain the same amount everywhere or at the same time. Sometimes you're experiencing the rain and they aren't. Sometimes they're experiencing the rain and you are not. Listen, if you're going through the rain right now, know that it's going to pass. But I want to get my last point here. I want to try and help you. How do you abide the rain? How do you abide the rain? The word abide is to continue without change, to endure, to be steadfast. How do you abide this rain? Turn back to Matthew chapter number 5. Matthew chapter number 5. This is the Sermon on the Mount. Who can tell me how long the Sermon on the Mount is? You're close. 5, 6, 7. If you just read through, you'll see. If you got a red letter edition Bible, just go till it stops being red. You got the Sermon on the Mount there. 5, 6, and 7. So turn to chapter number 7. We saw how Jesus was talking about the rain here. I want to talk to you about abiding the rain. Jesus chose to put a little more in the text here about rain for some reason. In chapter number 7, look down at verse number 24. He says, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which hath built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Now I know that we would love to avoid the rain, but the rain is sent by a heavenly Father who does that which is best for us. And the rain has been appointed unto you, and you're not going to be able to avoid the rain. So how do you abide the rain? How do you abide the rain? How do you go through it? Well, there's two principles given to us here that I want you to take home with you. First of all, there is the principle of being on the rock, the foundation of Jesus Christ. He is that rock, and as I said in the beginning, it starts with Jesus. If you're going to abide the rain, if you're going to endure through the storms of life, you've got to be founded on the rock and have Jesus Christ and have that sure footing. Otherwise, you're sure to be washed away. Great will be the fall of it. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and man, the world's been hitting you on every side, get on the rock today. Just like last Sunday morning, two dear people came forward, said, I need to know Jesus. And were dealt with, taught about how they can know the Lord. You could too, if you don't know Jesus. So first, there is the principle of the foundation. Do you have the right foundation? And I think for the most part, most here probably do. But I want you to see the second principle is the principle of following Jesus Christ. You got to have the foundation on Jesus Christ, then you got to follow Jesus. Notice in verse number 24, he says the first sentence there, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and what? Doeth them. There is a principle that is given to us that goes beyond just having Jesus as a foundation. Yes, our foundation is secure, and we're going to go to heaven if we've got Jesus Christ. But if you're going to endure the rain that comes in your life, there's a principle that goes beyond that, and that is following Jesus. What is it that he's talking about there? Therefore, he who heareth these sayings of mine. What is he talking about? What are the sayings of God? Don't you hate it? You don't know what the preacher's asking, like, what is he looking for? I'll give you a hint. This is what God told us, right? This is his word. This is what he's told us to do. This is what we ought to be following. And what I'm telling you this morning, what I want you to understand, is those that have taken the time to be in the Word of God have been given an umbrella to allow you to abide in the rain. You know, it's really uncomfortable and nasty when you go outside and it's pouring down rain. You want to seek shelter, right? But when you have the shelter of an umbrella, it's not too bad. Actually, sometimes it's kind of nice. You can be protected from the rain, and you're out in the storm, and you can see it all around, but you have a shelter. The Word of God gives you the shelter, Christian. When you do not have the Word, when you live your life outside of the Word of God, and you don't spend any time in the Word of God, and you're just looking for Jesus when the storm comes, you're like the person that left home without the umbrella, and they got caught in the storm, and they've got nothing, and they call me up and say, Pastor, what can I do? And I come, and I'll pray with them, and I'll help them and encourage them. But it's very different when you've got somebody who's going through the storm, and they've been in the Word. They've been sheltered. They're underneath. They've got that Word of God that's carrying them through as they follow Jesus. They're going through the storm as well. They're enduring the rain as well, but they're sheltered because they've been following what God says to do. The rain will drive you to seek shelter. In Job chapter 24, verse number 8, he says, they are wet with the showers of the mountains and embrace the rock for want of shelter. In Psalm 61, verse number 3, he says, for thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. I might not like the rain. I might not understand why it's here, but I know that the author of it loves me more than anybody could ever love me. And I know that he's appointed it to me, for me to endure for this time. And I know that I can abide the rain if I have the shelter of the Word of God and the foundation of Jesus Christ. Can you abide the rain? You see, the Father, the author, because he cares, sendeth the rain because it's appointed. And the rain because it drives you to seek shelter. Would you stand with me with your heads bowed and your eyes closed? God sends the rain. Let me ask you this morning, if you're here and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, your foundation has not been secured on that rock. You say, I'm not sure even what you're talking about, Pastor Caleb. I'm not sure what all that means, but I am sure that I don't want to spend an eternity in a place called hell. Would you show me by an uplifted hand to say, Pastor Caleb, would you pray for me? I'm not sure that I know Jesus as my Lord and Savior, but I would like to. I'm not going to embarrass you, but I would love to pray for you this morning. Would you just show me by an uplifted hand and say, I don't know Jesus that way, but I would like to. If you're here this morning and God spoke to you, maybe you need to just get back to realizing that rain was appointed by God. Maybe your faith needed to be strengthened to endure the rain that you're going through. I don't know what or how God spoke to you, but, you know, could you tell me this morning by an uplifted hand and say, God spoke to me. Would you show me, Christian, all over the room? All of them, God spoke to me this morning. Dear Lord Jesus, I pray that you would be with each and every heart here, and I ask you, God, that you would give them strength to endure the rain, that we would be ever reminded that it comes from a loving Father, appointed for us that we might seek shelter in the arms of Jesus. Lord, I can't be there to provide shelter in the darkness of night, but you can in every hour, in every situation. May they find it in the Word of God. May they yield to you. In Jesus' name, amen.